Now, folks, what you can do with these pictures, you'll see that there's links on these on the site, mm-hmm. where you can actually, because these pictures that I put up are very small, so you can click onto these links, and those links will give you the full size picture. So you'll be able to, with my permission, go to the full, click onto the link, pull up that full size picture. Save it,
yeah.
And analyze the heck out of it, and you'll come up with the same thing as we came up with. You know, they're legit. These entities are among us. They walk right dead in front of us, walk around us, and we never know it. In photo 13.
How come we don't feel them touching us?
Well, we do. That's how come a lot of times we get these pictures. We get them touching. We get them touching us around. Up in the woods quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah. You can actually...
Touch you on the back or what?
Well, people have their hair lifted. They felt their hands, something touching
literally
them on the back.
Literally lifted off the ground?
No, their hair lifted up. And then we've had them have their hand, feel like a physical hand under their back or leg or rear or wherever, people are up there get physically touched. But now in this case though, in photo 13, we've got, if you click on to the link there, no, actually you can just click on to the photo and that will take you to the full, take you to the full photo. But that was an entity that I'd never seen before. And it has like the tree kind of cuts off a lot of it, but you can see it's got like a snout, like a dog, like a pointed, long pointed nose, the huge eye, and a long ear. And when I was investigating that one, I did find something on it, and in a blog at abovetopsecret.com, and they called it a post biological entity. That was very advanced, more on the scientific, or more like a scientist. But we've actually I've photographed that one two times up there. And
so, like every Saturday when you go up there, you see things like
that? Oh, yeah. Now the other one, though,
a link over there to topsecret.com.
Yeah, I got a link there.
Clicking on the picture to enlarge it, so people can do that later.
Right. And now this one, the next picture is photo 14. This one was not taken by me, but was taken by somebody that was on my tour. Luckily, with him, his wife, he didn't want to go. His wife insisted that he go. Went, and so him and his wife and kids.
Now, is there a video clip
there.
Involved with this?
Yeah, and anyhow, he came and he was a non-believer in all this stuff. But anyhow, he was listening to me talk, and he's for reasons unknown, he quit taking photos and switched to video on his camera. And we got like a 30 some second video.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows this man, and you can actually click on there because we put it up on YouTube, and so you can click right onto the link that's on that picture, and it'll take you to the YouTube, and you can see him walking around right dead in front of us. But this one kind of disturbs me because one on his helmet, you can see a five-pointed star. And if you blow that up, you'll see that you don't see anything here of the man himself, but you can see the green from his shoulders and that green from the five-pointed star, and then there's like a green device on his arm. And in the video, you can see that he actually reached over and touched that green device on his arm, and seconds later, there was a flash of light. And he disappears. But if you and the five-pointed star, we use five-pointed stars here in the United States. Every country I know of uses five-pointed stars on their flags. A sheriff's badge is a five-pointed star. So my question is this a time traveler? Is it an alien? Or is it our government with some very advanced technology that they're using? And I just happen to have captured this technology on camera. But if you go to photo 16, you can see when after he touched that green device, there was a doorway that opened. And if you click on to, there's a link right there for photo 16. And if you click onto that, you'll see the doorway opening. But I had this gentleman that is a photo expert, and I can't say too much about him because I'm kind of like a little oath of secrecy on this one. But he explained to me that the red light that you see coming from this slit of white light is actually a bleed through. The red light is a bleed through coming from another room on the other side. And in our own government uses red light and blue light, I believe they said, you know, because of eye adjustment. When you're going from dark into light, you know, if you use a blue light or a red light, your eyes instantly focus. But if you use any other type of light, it takes moments, you know, for the eye to focus, which could cause somebody to be killed, you know, just within those quick moments. So our government does use red rooms, and I think he either said blue rooms or green rooms, I can't remember, but he's saying that red is a bleed through from that room. So is it that our government knows of this technique, or is it something that maybe it isn't even our government, and it could be that it's our future, you know, a time traveler coming back, who knows? I don't.
Photo 16, what kind of door is that?
It's an interdimensional doorway. He clicks that red, that he reaches over and touches that green object on his arm that you see on photo 14. When he does this, you will see a door, an interdimensional doorway open. And that's where you get that red bleed through from the other side. But it's an interdimensional doorway. Photo 17 shows the doorway completely opens. And if you click onto that link on the bottom where it says click here for a large photo, you click on there and you'll be able to actually see this, what we call the green man. You can actually see him standing in that, well, actually what he's doing is he's stepping into that that white light. But you can see his arm, his hand, and you can see a little bit of that green, that green device that's on his arm. And we caught it just before he stepped into that, through that door.
Do these entities come in colors?
Well, I'm not even sure. This could be us. This could be a time traveler. It could be our government working with new technology, or it could be alien technology. I don't know.
I think you probably think it's interdimensional.
Well, I know that they're using interdimensional technology because we've got that photographed. I mean, are they using wormholes? You know, is this a form of a wormhole that they can step into? I shouldn't say wormhole, a stargate. It seems to me that, I guess the closest I could explain this would be that he stepped through a stargate of sorts. And then photo 19, because we have some, you know, we as people try to tag everything and put it in a nice, neat little box and put a nice, pretty little red ribbon around it and then file it away someplace with a name. But from what I can gather, what is going, we
is
are not alone.
Is that a troll in 19 or?
Huh?
Is that a troll?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Is because, you'd see it? Did you blow it up? You can see him just as clear as can be. But there he is, little troll.
Were you under a bridge?
No, but this is in these woods. We have trolls, we have elves, we have fairies. But that's what I'm trying to say, is we like to think of ourselves as the only ones here. Okay, the only human-type people here on this earth. But I don't think we are. I think that there are many types of species that developed here, evolved here alongside of man. And maybe there was species, humanoid-type species that was here prior to man, such as what we see in the Lords of the Ring, you know, with our trolls, such as an example of a troll that is still here, but now as an known as an ultra-terrestrial, that you can see on photo 19. And then,
you claim you have two elves.
Well, do you see them? They're little leprechauns. That's what they are. But you see, especially that one on the right. Do you see his mustache? One of those. But anyhow, and he's got that little green hat.
That was taken several years ago, right?
Yeah, and then the one on the left. See his ears? You know, those are little leprechauns. Two little leprechauns.
Where did you take those? Up in Wisconsin?
Yeah, they're all in those woods. It's all, most of the stuff that we get is right there, in Burlington.
When they go on these tours with you every Saturday, they can end up seeing anything.
Yeah, and they do. But of course, Burlington, you know, it's, like I said, I put on to that burlingtonnews.net/lost_in_time, that, we're on the same latitude as American Stonehenge, you know, and Signal Hill on Cherry Valley, New York. Now, if this stuff isn't...
You're getting to something coming up here on the next picture 21 about a celestial city. You're going to have to tell me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, now, like I was going to say,
you gotta
explain if
this
stuff
to me.
Doesn't get strange, let me just take it a little bit further into strangeness, okay? And this came about with my curiosity or inquisitiveness over something that the Mormon prophet Strang had said about Voorhees. He had claimed that out there, right outside of Burlington, there's all this land that belongs to the Mormons, and there's this big old pasture right there and right across the road from there, from that pasture is a little one-room church, Mormon one-room church, and then there's like a road that runs right there, parallel too. And so, but anyhow, he said in that pasture area, he had a vision of a city coming down out of the sky and settling right there on the land right there. And he called it the New Jerusalem. And according to the archived records of the Nauvoo Temple in Illinois, they said that during the end days, the Mormon people were to gather and come back to Voorhees, because that was going to be the place of the New Jerusalem. So anyhow, this is the place of the gathering of, you know, from the Mormon Church, okay, from the Strangites. So anyhow, I've always been curious about. So one night, and we always get a lot of UFO pictures out there. So one night, a friend of mine stopped by and she said, "Let's go out to Mormon Road and shoot some pictures." So anyhow, I was up to it. So we went out there, and we just started shooting the night sky. Didn't see anything until we got back to the office, and I downloaded the pictures, and I could see it on the camera. And I says, "Oh my God!" I says, "We've got something out there." And I says, "It's not a UFO." And I showed her these pictures. So we jumped back. We locked everything up. We went back out there. And we were out there for several hours just shooting pictures. But this thing was so huge. I mean, you could shoot and you would just get a piece of it. You know? It was just too big to shoot with just one shot. So what you see here is some of the pictures that I had taken of this UFO, or celestial, I call it a celestial city. But photo 21, do you see that line that goes through there? It's kind of like a blue line. It goes from left to right. Mm-hmm. That's the power line. Okay? That shows you how low it was.
That looks to me like a telephone line. Or
yeah, a telephone power line. But we were standing on the road, shooting up, and luckily we had that power line right there. And we were shooting through that those power lines or telephone lines.
Now, could you see any of this with your naked eye?
Could not see it. That's what the term ultra terrestrial means. Is they're there, they walk among us, but you can't see them. They use a means of some form of invisibility. So, you know, like a regular spacecraft, many people can see them. You know, when they appear, a lot of times people see the grays, you know, but the ultra-terrestrial has the capability of invisibility, not only for themselves, but for their vehicles. So thus comes the term ultra-terrestrial. So in this case, here it shows, and it can't be a spacecraft because you can see it looks like it's stone. Doesn't it look stone to you?
Yeah, now.
In the top of it, you can actually see architectural design. And then, as you look at the bottom part, that's like a Persian door. And there's there's four ultra-terrestrial beings standing there, outside that door, in black robes, looking down on us. And then there's something, I don't know, some other little entity standing to the standing on the to the outside
now,
of that.
You're convinced this is just not something.
No,
with your camera.
No,
you've used more than one camera.
Well, look at it, Jerry. I mean, you know.
Okay.
I mean, you can, and then I mean, it's taking the picture. It shows the line of the power line. I mean, you know, I mean, how could the camera? I mean. The camera, like Dr. Claude Swanson told me, I believe it was, the camera, it either going to shoot what's in front of it, or it will shoot what's not in front of it. If it's there, it's going to shoot it. If it's not there, you're not going to get anything. You know, camera's very simple. The mind can be tricked, the camera can't. And now, remember, we're shooting in the sky here, too. You know, we're not shooting buildings or anything. We're pointing up to the sky. And that's why you can go with that telephone line. You can see that, you know, you can see the sky. We're not shooting at buildings. Okay, now, photo 22. This one shows some sort of a platform. And you can see, I don't know what that is. It's a huge telescope or a piece of equipment. You know, I'll let the listener decide, you know. And I'm sure we'll get, everyone has their own perspective on what something is, you know. So I'm sure we'll get quite a lot of, people writing and saying, well, it's this, and it's this, and this, and this. Personally, me, I don't know what it is. But you can see it's metal. That's one thing I can tell is that it is metallic. You know, this piece of equipment. And now some people have told me that they think that they see people standing there next to this piece, but, you know, a piece of equipment. I don't know. But anyhow, in photo 22 is the first picture. 23, I did a cutout of it and kind of blew it up a little bit so you could get a better look at it. 24, I made a black and white of it. And 25, I made a negative of it. But the one that I love the most is the picture 26, photo 26.
Yeah, you say it's as good as it gets as far as you're concerned.
It's showing symbols on it. How many people have actually photographed something in the sky, you know, with symbols on it? What the symbols are, I don't know. But if a person had a better system than I do, you know, as far as a photo editor, and they could clean those symbols up, I mean, it could give us one heck of an answer, you know. But what those symbols are, I don't know. They kind of look to me like stars, maybe, or UFOs or X's or something. but you can see on that picture, again, you can see those power lines going through there?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's on the other side of those power lines. And then it shows something taking off, leaving a light. And I put like a little thumbnail up there of some UFOs that we'd shot over Bong. And I kind of thought that they reminded me of maybe, you know, something like that.
Tell me, what is a Bong? B-O-N-G. I mean,
well, Bong, that's a, it was named after the last name of a man by the name
okay.
of Bong. But it's the...
Well, you've referred to that, too.
Yeah, time. Bong is, it's... right outside of Burlington, there's an underground base, and it's called Bong Recreational Park. It used to belong to, the Army had bought it up, and or the military had bought it up, and they were going to put in a big base in there, Air Force base in there, and they rented a runway, and then they says that they ran out of money, or it was a waste of money, and they left. But basically what they were doing is they were creating a distraction by building there, but they were actually building an underground base. And and I was actually able to prove the base did exist. I finally was able to prove that out this year. Because one of the an administrator that worked up there had actually the swamp had dried up, and one of the entrances to the underground base was open. Or, you know, was exposed, so he actually went down in there and into a couple of the bunkers, and then...
And finally, at the end of your, you have a video.
Yeah, and then the video, you know, I felt it was kind of a nice way to end off the show, because they're right standing outside of where my cafe is today, and where I had shot where I do most of my pictures, shooting of UFOs. You can click on there, and I think it's about halfway through that video, you'll see the UFO power itself off, up and off, and shoots off. Off it goes.
Now, this is live right now, but tomorrow we're going to match this audio with this video page that you put up, and we're going to embed the audio, assuming you get it to me.
Yeah, I'll have that. I'll have it to you right away.
And so they need to check back sometime tomorrow evening, and we'll be looking at the page, and you can hear what we've been saying without having to go over to that website.
You know, Jerry, there for a long time, I didn't... I just didn't put this out, you know, all the things I was seeing, because, you know, there was just way too many naysayers, and I just didn't know enough about what the heck was going on. And you know, now that I've decided to put this series out, In Search of Ancient Man, I've decided that I'm just going to throw it all out on the table. I'm going to tell people, you know, I'm going to show them these pictures that I've taken. I'm going to tell my stories of what I know, and people are either going to accept it as the truth or not. I'm done. I'm tired of holding it back. I'm just throwing it out there. You know,
well, Mary Sutherland,
the chips fall where
it may. It's been a long journey from Arizona to Wisconsin, but yeah. I think you were meant to make it.
Well, you know, we started together, you know, we made a lot of friends along the way, and like I always tell people...
Let's go over the book again. They find that on your website. Is it available anyplace else?
Well, I have a publisher for this, and I believe that it will be on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and places like that, so you'll be able to get them through your local bookstores and that. But at this point in time, because the best place to go is just buy it now by just going to my website at burlingtonnews.net, and the book's right there. Or you can go to that website that we're working on tonight or talking about tonight. Can I read this one part of the book?
Okay, go ahead.
Lost in Time, and book is book one in her five-book series In Search of Ancient Man. Author and researcher Mary Sutherland believes that the human race and all life on planet Earth has and is being held captive by a race of creator gods known as the Anunnaki. To guarantee and maintain their control, deals were made and continue to be made with a selected group of humans who have proclaimed themselves to be the chosen ones. Contemporaneously, they view the human race as peasants, and their secret agenda shows total disregard for the quality of life on this planet. Through acts of genocide and spilling of the blood of millions, history was rewritten, and the identity of the true people of Earth was forgotten in time. Sutherland's upcoming series, In Search of Ancient Man, will provide proof positive that we need not look to the sky for the return of the sky gods, for the simple reason they never left. They remain on Earth, hiding in the shadows, using their shepherd kings or chosen ones to carry on their hidden agenda. So, In Search of Ancient Man, Lost in Time by Mary Sutherland.
It's always a joy talking to you, and you did a lot of work on this. It took years.
Yeah, it's this is a decade in the making, but it's finally coming out.
Mary Sutherland, good luck on the Vortex Conference.
Thank you.
And you've had two successful ones, so the third time's a charm.
Yeah, and again, Burlington, let it be, burlingtonnews.net/conference, and you'll find all the information you need to know about the conference right there.
Hey, I've enjoyed the simulcast.
Thank you so much, Jerry Pippin.
Thank you later.
Friend
Talk to you
forever.
Later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.